Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, actually, Sean Wally in France, man. You are globetrotting like no other, and man, what are things like over there?
Man, well, you know, things are busy as always. It was great to have Monday as a day off, our first official non-travel day, non-game day in Europe, so it was much needed.
Yeah, so you had a little bit of problems, airplane problems, man. I think that was, goodness, where were you guys at? To where you were laid over for a little bit and had to cancel maybe a show or two?
No, we didn't miss any games. That was the okay. The good part, the crazy part, everything that happened. Thursday being a remarkable, memorable, yet ridiculous day, leaving Iceland, and everybody had to be on the bus at 5 a.m. local time to make our 7:30 flight, and we flew from Iceland headed to Oslo, Norway to connect to Paris. Well, that didn't happen because the airport in Oslo was shut down due to snow and ice. So we got sent further east to Stockholm, Sweden, not knowing if or when we would be able to finish the trip. And it turned out about 3 or 4 hours later, they were reopening Oslo Airport and we were going to on there and take off and see what would happen. Well, we get to Oslo, no issues. Our flight bumped to Paris from, let's see here, a 5:30 takeoff time to takeoff time. So we're thinking, great, she get there, have a little bit of time, and then get on to Paris. And at 9 p.m. they finally canceled the flight. So big chaos, and we ended up staying the night in Oslo.
So John, you're coming in a little bit flat here, and so kind of coming in and out. So we're going to try to fix this, but it sounds like you had an interesting time, you know, over there in Europe, and now you're in France, and you know, the only thing I can think about when you're talking about the snow and being laid over and everything, I think back to, I know this sounds weird, but Rocky IV. And I think when Rocky was over in the Soviet Union and, you know, all that snow around the airports and, you know, just, I don't know. I maybe it's just me being silly. I don't know. But that's what I think about, man.
One of the sports movies. So that's a great thing to think about for you. And then what happened to us on the following day, Friday, is we weren't sure if we were going to get out of Oslo because so many flights were canceled. There wasn't much available for us to be able to get into Paris. And so our Friday was up in the air. We had a game that night in Blois, France. And it turns out that the Harlem Globetrotters ended up chartering a plane out of England to come rescue us in Oslo and take us near Blois, France. And we had this fabulous plane with great flight attendants, great food, beverages, comfortable seats, lots of leg room. It was definitely a treat.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was going to bring that up. And, you know, it's kind of cool sometimes when, you know, things don't work out in the beginning, because in the end, winds up being such a treat. And for you guys, for the Harlem Globetrotters, getting a chance to ride in style, and it sounds like, you know, a private jet wisping you guys off and taking you where you need to be. And, you know, you showed some of the pictures on Facebook with the leather seats and, you know, the plush dining, all of those cool things, man. So, you know, what turned out to be, you know, dismal in the beginning winds up being cool to get you to your next destination. And so, you know, I'm sure you're pretty pleased with that end result, making it to France.
Yeah, it was amazing how Thursday was so upside down and such a very long day, 21, 22 hours awake. And then Friday was much smoother for private planes. There's a separate lobby, separate check-in area. You're completely separate from the main airport, from commercial planes. Everything was just much, much smoother on Friday.
Well, yeah, you guys should be used to that. You're the Harlem Globetrotters traveling in style. And, you know, one of the things that you were mentioning when you got to Stockholm, I believe, actually, maybe it wasn't Stockholm. Maybe it was when you first got to France. You guys got there a little bit late, got to the arena a little bit late, but the arena was packed and the crowd was waiting for you guys with open arms.
Absolutely. That pretty floored all of us. That was supposed to be an 8 p.m. game time, and we didn't get there until 8:45, 9 o'clock, and the place was packed to the rafter, 1,500 people easy. And as soon as we walk in with all of our gear and having to get things set up, cheering for us versus a crowd that would be ticked off or half the people had left or something like that. It was a great sight and a great feeling.
I can imagine you guys were, you know, walking into the arena, you're late. You're thinking that maybe banana peels, bottles, everything's going to be thrown at you, and then there's huge fanfare. But that's the way it is, man. You guys are the famous traveling Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, I was ready for, you know, tomatoes and, like you're saying, banana peels and cans, bottles, but no, it was the complete opposite. It was great.
Well, man, I'm glad you guys made it to your destination there for the time being. Haven't made it to Paris yet, have you?
No. We have a game coming up this next week, I believe, in Paris. I know a couple of my Washington Generals into Paris today on our day off. Was about an hour and a half one-way train ride, so 3 hours round trip, and 105 euros just to get into the city before they did any type of sights or having lunch or dinner or anything. So not the cheapest trips, but hey, how often do you have a chance to spend time in Paris?
Well, man, that is some awesome stuff. And this is just, these are just stories that you'll be able to tell, you know, in the years to come. So now let's go out to the Chandler Reach Winery phone lines and welcome in our first guest here on the Double with the Double S Express. And that is none other than Cottrell Macklin. Cottrell, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing perfect. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. You tell me, because every time you're on the show, man, I really get excited and pumped up to hear some of the things that are going on. I believe that you had the chance to work the NCAAs in Houston, Texas. I believe, was it Houston, Texas?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it was Houston, so Houston. Oh man, so you got a treat. You got a chance to see Gonzaga, UCLA, Duke, Utah, and of course Duke against Gonzaga in that Elite Eight. Man, kind of give us an insight on what that was all about.
Man, it was like a Rice Krispie treat wrapped up all in one with just both of those two games. The Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, were phenomenal games. And you said Kentucky, or not Kentucky, Duke was out there with Gonzaga, UCLA. It was a great region to attend. I'm glad that I went out to the South region. I had a couple people who were going to go with me, but that was not fulfilled. But yeah, I'm not going to go to that whole story. But just the experience of going down to Houston, Texas, first of all, let me say that that is my number one city in the United States. Regardless, people can fight me against this, but I've been to a lot of different places, and Houston, Texas is, first of all, the number one location. So I don't know why the Final Four wasn't there this year. They always have it in Indianapolis. And I almost get tired of seeing it heading to Indianapolis, road to Final Four in Indianapolis. But next year it will be in Houston. So that's a great idea. One thing that interests me at the tournament down in Texas, they played at NRG Stadium, which used to be called Reliance Stadium. And it's the home where the Houston Texans play football. And
right, right.
They had the stage raise up to like a level of, I think it was about 2 or 3 feet, I would say. And, it was high off the ground. The lights were beaming in the student-athletes' faces. It was a total different experience, I know, for those guys. When I talked to Jahlil Okafor following the Sweet 16 game, and they were about to take on Gonzaga in between media day, he explained to me that the way that the stadium was set up was totally different from what they've seen in the past, but it was something they were trying to change. He was in the gym earlier. I don't know how he got access. Well, he's Jahlil Okafor, so I'm pretty sure he got some inside information and got in the arena early and got to get some shots up. But he says if he wasn't able to do that, he definitely wouldn't be able to play the way that he did play in the Elite Eight. And, you know, it was better than the first game in the Sweet 16, but, you know, you really can't tack on to too much that he did, because as a team, Duke looked phenomenal.
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit. Of course, we all know how Coach K is and how he gets his teams prepared for the tournament. Now, this Duke team seems to be a little different. I mean, let's face it, Duke will get you excited. They're always a number one, number two seed, and then somehow they get knocked out in the Sweet 16. They might make it to the Elite Eight. But this seems to be a different team. You know, kind of give us an idea on Coach K and how he was getting his players and team ready to play for this tournament.
It was like Coach K was in a jersey of his own. It's unbelievable. This guy puts on his shirt and tie, buttons it up, and usually people get in a very professional manner, but it seems like he steeps down to the level where he's with his student athletes and he wants to be on the same level. That's why it seems like they're more so on a family basis. You can tell that he amps it up another notch for this NCAA tournament, definitely for sure, because, you know, they came in not being the best defense in the nation, but, you know, they arguably had the best defense against Utah and Gonzaga at that Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight than they had all season long. You know, Utah was the top three-point shooting team in the Pac-12, and that Sweet 16 game, they made 4 of 16 attempts from the three-point line. And so that explains to you that Duke's defense was definitely amped up to another notch, and it was something that Utah just wasn't ready for. Yeah, Duke did not have a great job behind the three-point arc either. But for them to lock down the best three-point shooting team in the Pac-12, that's something to say there. Zags shot 40% from three-point range, but made just 2 of 10 attempts. And that's something that Gonzaga talked about in their media day in between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight game on Saturday. They explained that if they weren't able to shoot well, then they were going to lose. So 2 for 10 from behind the three, that's 20. I mean, it's 20%. It's not too good either. And so that's why you've seen them get knocked off. And that's why Duke's heading to the Final Four.
Now, Cottrell, you may recall that we have quite a few listeners in the Pacific Northwest, and that is obviously where Gonzaga is home in Spokane. And heck, hopefully you're bringing a lot of listeners from the South with you being on here tonight, and we thank you for that. What do you think the issue was in the final 4 minutes of the game when Gonzaga score against Duke?
Did you say what was the issue?
Correct.
Well, I just felt like just like Kentucky. It kind of took me back to Kentucky, where the Wildcats kind of clamped down with the last couple minutes when they were playing their first Sweet 16 game to head into the Elite Eight. You've seen the way that they clamped down with the last 5 or 6 minutes left. They were down by six. And they, I don't know where they go to find this extra energy or this extra oomph to end off the game, but it seems like Duke has the same mentality. It's not a map or something specific that you can find on Duke that's going to help you lock them down, because they're a very specific team. They know exactly what they want to do. They will execute it. Coach K knows exactly what he's doing. You have a Hall of Fame coach on your squad, then that's a great thing. The roster changes, you know, it might be every year with freshmen coming in being as good as they are and head to the NBA, but that coaching has never changed, I mean, for many, many years. And so I think for Gonzaga to mess up in the last couple of minutes, you know, they did go down to Duke 66-52, so they lost four in a large margin, but it did kind of spread out when Gonzaga just started to give up. They've seen how good Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow was down low. Those are top-notch NBA prospect-level guys, regardless if you want to acknowledge or not. Regardless if Okafor had a one bad game, or you've seen when they double-teamed him the game before the Duke-Gonzaga matchup, the guy's top-notch, man. He handles himself very professional. He's only 19 years old, birthday coming up soon, but he handles himself like an NBA player, but he's playing at the college level. It's a total different aspect, and it's a total different thing that we see at the collegiate level. So on that sense, just a simple answer of just that's a top-notch team.
Now, Cottrell, was the credential process like for you in dealing with the NCAA?
The credential process?
Correct. How tough or easy was it to get credentialed, and what do you hope to do with all of your footage and everything that you were able to do there in Houston?
Well, going through Global Basketball TV, there's this director out in Atlanta. The footage, some of the footage that wasn't, you know, put into globalbasketball.com, which is the network that I covered for, it was mostly all over, you know, my Instagram, my Twitter, as far as branding through the NCAA tournament. That's a major aspect within doing broadcasting along, as you guys know for sure. You know, regardless of a company thrives or not, it's always going to be the broadcaster himself or herself that has to also make sure that the fan base is, you know, satisfied with the information that they have. So I covered the event, and the full package videos are on globalbasketball.com. Some of the smaller videos, as you can see, like the 15-second spots, maybe a small little commercial recapping the game before, it's found on my Instagram. It's just my name, at Cottrell Macklin. That's C-A-T-R-E-L-L-M-A-C-L-I-N. And I tell everyone no K, because people love to put K's in my name. I don't know what that's about.
So the ever so talented and often busy Cottrell Macklin joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, you dealt with one portion of the bracket in this March Madness. Of course, there is in the Final Four Duke, Michigan State, along with Kentucky and Wisconsin. So just tell me, how's your bracket going right now?
Ooh, well, you know, everyone had their slip-ups within the first couple of days, you know, for the NCAA tournament. But as it's rounding out, you know, it's a lot more people who had their Final Fours picked, and a lot of people were close. My Final Four bracket is pretty much how it is now. It's the same with Wisconsin, Kentucky, you know, Duke. You know, it's looking good as far as the teams that are there now. But to take it all, it just seemed like Kentucky's just those kids can ball, man. It's nothing that you can pretty much do. I don't know what it is that these guys, I mean, I said that about Duke, and yes, I was there in Houston. I got to see it firsthand. Got to talk to some of the guys, see where their heads were. But the Kentucky experience has to be on another level as well. When those guys' records, I mean, you haven't lost a game all season, and I'm not talking just a schedule like Memphis played. I mean, you know, I'm from Memphis. I cover Memphis. The Tigers haven't done anything. Everyone in Memphis has been sad. It just seems like all the momentum went to the football team. But I will give Memphis no more publicity as far as the Tigers basketball team. But Kentucky basketball, Wildcat basketball, I can see why people might jump on the bandwagon right now, because when you get to, you're playing 38, 39 games, you haven't lost a game yet. Some top-notch basketball, dude, playing in night in, night out, not no just regular teams, not Robert Morris or smaller teams like that. These guys' schedules have been phenomenal all season long, and the NCAA tournament just shows how good Kentucky is. But overall, I just think the Wildcats are going to go home with it. It's going to be another one for Calipari. And, yes, he'll probably have 12 to 16 NBA prospects going. So he'll be at the NBA draft coming up soon. And definitely, I'm pretty sure his whole team, maybe even his coaching staff and water boys, might get drafted to the league this year.
Yeah, it seems like everybody on Kentucky's team will definitely make it into the league. And so – yeah, you're picking the University of Kentucky, and that is absolutely the finest in Cottrell Macklin's bracketology. Man, hey, let's shift gears here a little bit. Of course, you're talking about Memphis, and we're not going to talk about the Memphis Tigers. Last time we had something good to talk about somewhere around Penny Hardaway, but we'll just leave it at that.
I agree.
But, man, the Memphis Grizzlies, man. So they're doing a number right now, I believe, on the Sacramento Kings. As a matter of fact, that game just went final, I believe, 97-83. Memphis sitting number 3 in the Western Conference. Looking pretty sharp, but they're not getting the love that the Golden State Warriors are and the Houston Rockets. So what say you about the Memphis Grizzlies going into the playoffs?
The game before this, you know, they were on the 3-game losing streak, but they've lost to the best 3 teams, I think, probably in the NBA. The Grizzlies come in, they're 50-24 now, first in the Southwest Division. And like you said, they're not getting the publicity of the Houston Rockets, and they're actually ranked above the Houston Rockets, even though they have the same record. They're ranked above the Houston Rockets right now, in the Southwest Division standings. I guess they're basing that off of, you come in and you beat Dallas, you beat Portland back on the 20th of March, 21st and 23rd of March, but you lose 3 in a row to Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio. And that actually says a lot. So the Grizzlies, who normally get in the 90 to 97 range throughout the season, they couldn't score 90 points on those last 3 opponents. Like you said, they just took care of the Sacramento Kings here in Memphis, and it's about 20 seconds left in the game. That's gonna be it. Memphis is up by about 15 or 16. Sacramento's not that good, but it just seems like the Grizzlies in the playoffs is going to be a totally different atmosphere. You come inside the FedEx Forum, and it's totally different. And they call it the Grindhouse for a reason, and I'm pretty sure teams know that by now. Regardless of ESPN is going to show up or CBS or you know, Double on the Double is going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, the Grizzlies are going to grind their way to an NBA championship.
Wow. Big
They got the two. I'm sorry, what did you say?
That's a big, bold prediction there, big man.
A couple of years ago, they got as far as the Western Conference Finals, and it ended there. And that was back when Lionel Hollins was the head coach. And I won't go into that subject as well.
I was getting ready to say something there.
I won't go into that subject as well. We'll be on all night. But regardless of who the coach is, these guys down low in the post, Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol, those guys are putting in work. You got Zach Randolph averaging 10.5 rebounds a game, and Mark Gasol averaging 17.5 points a game. You know, Zach comes in also averaging 16 points a game. So down low in the post, those guys are a duo to deal with. That's what I call them, the duo to deal with. Because one guy's not on, the other guy can get going. They can dish it down low. Both of the guys can pass. Mike Conley can step up and play ball. One of the most, if not the most, underrated point guards in the NBA. And you got the grindfather. You got Tony Allen. Yes, he's out of the starting lineup due to Jeff Green. But, you know, Jeff Green's a top-notch player, too. I mean, we've seen out in Boston. All the time I refer back to the situation where he was injured and came back against the Cleveland Cavaliers a couple of years ago. Well, it might have been Miami, but I know he was playing with LeBron, and he had like 57 points that night coming off an injury. So you know where his heart is in the NBA and what he can get done. So just to have those major assets on the squad like the Memphis Grizzlies, which don't, you know, get a lot of press, if you want to call it. I just think, man, the way that they're playing together, if they can continue and try to put some sticky glue or something on the water holes or spots that they messed up on in their last three matchup against Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio, then who's going to beat them?
Now, Cottrell, I gotta interrupt here, man, because you have pleaded an awesome case for the Memphis Grizzlies, man. But I got to tell you, being here in Northern California, the Golden State Warriors, and I'm they're sitting about 10.5 games ahead of the Memphis Grizzlies right now. And you mentioned them as one of the teams that has beaten the Memphis Grizzlies as of recent. We're thinking out here that the Golden State Warriors are going to win this NBA title. And when you have the Splash Brothers, you know, with Klay Thompson, you know that, you know who that is, Steph Curry. I don't have to go any further. I think the biggest thing that's going to hold Golden State or the variable for Golden State will be, can Andrew Bogut show up and play strong half court basketball? Because if that happens, then the Golden State Warriors, I believe, are winning the NBA title.
A lot of people, it's the West Coast, East Coast thing. It's no Tupac and Biggie thing going on here. But Golden State, I think I've heard of those guys once or twice. The Splash, I don't know where that comes from.
You know.
I'm not sure if they clean pools together or what do they do, but if they don't show up, and if they take on the Memphis Grizzlies, it's going to be a hard task. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, Steph Curry and Klay, they can definitely shoot the cover off the ball. Those guys can ball out there, and I've seen them play twice this year, and they just make you shake your head if you're not living in Golden State. But 60-13, that speaks for itself. They're on the 9-game win streak. It's scary.
I haven't even mentioned Draymond Green and you know, Andre Iguodala has fallen into his place as far as a role player.
Oh, come on. That's enough, man. I get sick of Golden State on 2K because when I play with my brothers in NBA 2K15, the guy gets Golden State every single time, and I have to sit there and amp up and get mad. Like, I have to take some Red Bull or something and try to amp up to another level because those guys, they're like cheating on 2K, man. I don't know what that's all about. I don't think they can shoot like that.
Cottrell, I'm glad to hear that you are still involved with GlobalBasketball.com and Daryl Reshaw. What is next for you personally?
Next for me, it's going to be, I guess I'll be working with a TV network in Nashville coming up in the summer. So right now I'm just now getting back home. I'm pretty tired. I was also thinking about starting up a smaller TV network here in the city of Memphis because it's always been a basketball mecca here in Memphis. And, you know, it's like Memphis, Chicago. It might be, Compton out there in Cali. But it's never been a TV network to showcase the talent for high school sports. therefore, I want to give the asset to the high schoolers to get that exposure. College coaches can find them. The community of Memphis can find out more about who they are, and that can be another major asset for high school athletes. But for the most part, right now, I'm going to cover the Grizzlies when I can. Like I said, I'm still in college, so I'm wrapping up some of the school. And when I get out of there, hopefully it'll take me to another level as far as my experience, and I'll be able to get somewhere that I'd never really seen. I'm hoping for – I went to Joel Osteen's church on Sunday, so I'm hoping for what he calls unexpected sunshine. And that's when God, you know, you never really can see it. It's like a murky cloud, and then all of a sudden the unexpected sunshine comes down, and it favors onto you. And that's exactly what I've been praying for. And you know, and if it falls in the right spot, hopefully it goes the right way.
Man, that's a whole nother show talking about your experience at Joel Osteen. That's awesome, man. The last time we talked in the fall, you were getting going on freelancing for the major networks in Memphis. How is that going for you, and what roles have you been in?
Some of the smaller gigs with the Yahoo Sports Radio here have been going pretty good. Columnist for Grit Grind Grizz when I'm available. Smaller different things for some of the TV networks here. But for the most part, I'm just covering selective Grizzlies games. Some of the shoot-arounds, I've been transitioning over to getting more one-on-ones. I don't know if you remember Derek Spallone that was out with us out in Chicago, Sean. And he's doing pretty good for himself as well. But I guess I'm trying to transition over to the one-on-one aspect, because that's where I get to, as someone defines, find myself, as well as find out about who this athlete is or who this celebrity is that people actually don't know. So, you know, I'm going deep to find out who I am, and I'm using different platforms in the city of Memphis to do so, as well as, you know, high school and so on and so forth.
Cottrell Macklin, thank you so much for your time and insight. You are definitely up and coming in the world of sports broadcasting, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. You can follow Cottrell at Cottrell Macklin.
Hey, Cottrell, we're definitely going to have you on after, like, maybe the second round of the NBA finals. So, yeah, we'll have you back on the show, and we'll talk a little bit about where Golden State is at in Memphis, and who knows, maybe you'll be sticking it to me.
Exactly. You know, maybe I'll let you know this. If you call me and we get to talk after the second round, I'll let you know right here exclusively on your radio show that I'm going to have Clay and Steph right next to me on the couch, because they're going to be at home. They're going to be at home with
I
me
love it.
Watching TV.
I love it. Cottrell Macklin, there goes Cottrell. All right, Cottrell, you have a good one, man.
You too, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. There goes Cottrell Macklin. Man, I mean, just the busiest and hardest working next to the Double S Express, of course, Sean Wally, in sports. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we might get into a little bit of NFL, because I know Sean Wally is always chomping at the bit for that. Talk a little bit about the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally from France at 4:38 in the morning local time. Sean Boyd in California in the 7 p.m. hour.
Man, so have you had the chance? I mean, can you run off a little bit of French for me? I mean, I know you have. You probably have Translate on your phone. Have you dealt with the natives a little bit?
Oh, I've learned a couple words here and there. I can say a few numbers, things like that. It's nowhere near the depth and breadth of the German that I could do back when I was in Germany. But I'm picking up a couple here and there and maybe use one or two words in the show. So it's fun.
So as far as the eating is concerned, reading the menu, have you been to, like, you know, some of the American establishments like a McDonald's or anything like that? What's all that look like?
Thankfully, here in France, we have not been to a McDonald's yet. We keep up in Germany, unfortunately, although I never ate there once, so I'm avoiding the Golden Arches as best I can. But, you know, here in France, there have been a couple places that have given English menus that's been helpful. Otherwise, I look for pictures.
No doubt about it. No doubt. So we had Cottrell Macklin on, and of course, Cottrell giving us his insight from Houston. Man, did you get an idea that maybe he liked the city of Houston? I don't know. I kind of got that from him.
Well, heck, I know I've got the same sentiment, you know, there for 4 nights with the Globetrotters and the same hotel, that AA hotel for the tournament this weekend, and the Hyatt Regency, and I know you stayed there and been to the city as well. So obviously I have much explore time, but, you know, played games right there at NRG Arena in the same parking lot with NRG Stadium that Trell was at. And, you know, he definitely had a great time, and he was doing something he loved that helped to have him like Houston.
Well, you know, one of the things that I marveled at while being in Houston was, you know, just learning that that is the third largest city in America. That is intense to me. So, you know, being there and seeing how big it was, and, you know, how what they say, everything's bigger in Texas. But Houston, Texas was, you know, it was a pretty cool city, man. I kind of echo what Cottrell was saying. I, you know, had a lot of fun being there.
Heck, man, maybe the three of us can plan to get together at some right there and do some sightseeing, some exploration, and of course, a lot more sports.
Yeah, so you know, we'll definitely try to do that. We'll get Cottrell, you know, call him offline and see if we can make that happen. So there is I don't know if you've been following a little bit or not, Sean. You know, the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League starting to wind down with the beginning of Major League Baseball season about to be upon us. And, you know, the Seattle Mariners, Oakland A's, two teams that we follow. I mean, are you thinking that the Seattle Mariners are preparing themselves and getting ready for opening day?
Oh, absolutely. As every team is this time of year, with opening day just about 7 days away. So too long, the games will be real, and everybody will amp it up a notch or two. I don't know that the Mariners have started to roll out their opening day lineup to get everybody acclimated and ready to playing every day.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing here in Northern California for, you know, for me following the Oakland Athletics, you know, is just making sure that these guys are healthy. And Bob Melvin is the type of person that, you know, wants to make sure of that by resting players and, you know, splitting the lineups, of course. You know, and of course, Oakland is sitting atop in, you know, in preseason. So, you know, they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, I know J.J. Redick is – Josh Redick is kind of nursing some injuries here. I'm looking to find out if the Oakland A's can actually – pull off what, you know, most think that they can't. And, you know, year in and year out, Billy Beane is one of those types of general managers that likes to throw players away. Looking at their starting pitching with Sonny Gray, you know, let's face it, he's probably going to be the opening day pitcher. Scott Kazmir, you know, glad to have him back. But Kendall Graveman, this is a young man who I'm, you know, starting to have a likeness to. I think he's going to be probably the fifth pitcher in the rotation. You know, he's one of these guys, you know, out of Alexander City, Alabama. And so he's a rookie that has shown some great promise here. And I'd like to see what he can do at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. You know, everybody has a chance. It's like we talk about this sport, any season. You know, everybody thinks they're at the end and they can do great things and put up great numbers, and that's true for all teams before, you know, we roll into April and see how things iron out as we get closer to Memorial Day. And if these players, whether it's Mariners, A's, Yankees, Red Sox, whoever, if they at least can put up their average numbers, the back of their baseball card, if they can do what they normally do, then teams will have good years. It's when injuries happen and guys aren't playing up to their average standard that things begin to unravel.
And in your case with the Seattle Mariners and mine, of course, you know, because I still love the Seattle Mariners as well. Felix Hernandez, you know, he's going to be the ace, the opening day pitcher. But just like the Oakland A's, I'm taking a look at that fifth pitcher in the rotation, and J.A. Happ. I mean, what's the haps with Happ?
He's actually slotted to be number three or four in the rotation, and the fifth job is going to Taiwan Walker, who had 19 scoreless innings in spring training. Granted, it was spring training, but that scoreless inning streak just came to an end, I believe, a day or two ago. And the interesting part for me is, Sean, you'll remember the name from last season. Starting pitcher Roannis Elias was sent to Tacoma. So that's, I guess, not a great thing for him, but an awesome thing for the Mariners and their rotation, because if somebody gets hurt or if somebody falters, you can bring Elias right back, slide him right to the mound at Safeco, and he'll be ready to rock. He had a rookie season last year, and he's probably disappointed personally, but in the long term, it's probably a good thing for the team.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing for the team. What it does is it flexes the depth that the Seattle Mariners have. And if Taiwan Walker is moving down to number four or number five, that speaks volumes for what Seattle's trying to do as far as solidifying a strong rotation. And, you know, the Mariners have done a great job with the bats. You know, you have Mike Zunino, and, of course, Logan Morrison is one of the guys that I'm going to be focusing on and taking a look at first base, along with Kyle Seager. Now, Kyle Seager is, you know, one of the up-and-comings, you know, in the infield. And if he has a very good beginning of the season, it could be a long season for the rest of the division.
Yeah, I think one of the big keys for the Mariners will be in the field with Austin Jackson. He needs to have a good start in April offensively. You know, his defense is going to be there. He had a poor time in Seattle with the bat over in the trade from Detroit last season. And interesting to note that manager Lloyd McClendon has inserted newcomer Ricky Weeks into the leadoff position a few times in spring training to let Austin Jackson know, hey, you need to produce or else we'll put somebody in there who will.
Yeah, so you're mentioning Austin Jackson. You know, he has the chance to solidify center field. I believe he has already. But one of the things that we've talked about earlier with the Mariners is the depth that they also have in the outfield. It's a big struggle to see who's actually going to start on opening day. Of course, Justin Ruggiano, you have Seth Smith that you'd mentioned, and, you know, you're looking at Dustin Ackley as well. And so, you know, that's a strong nucleus of people that are vying for a position. And again, that just speaks volumes for Lloyd McClendon and what he's doing with the Mariners.
Yeah, you said it with the pitching, that it's depth, and that's what general manager Jack Zarenzik has done a great job of with not only the minor clubs, but now at the major league level. The guys you mentioned for the outfield, the starters and the backups, there's not a bad seat in the bunch to where, you know, if you give somebody a day off and you put a Smith in or Justin Ruggiano or a Ricky Weeks, that you're not losing ground and, you know, potentially having a worse defensive outfield or maybe the sticks drop off 30 points by every. Well, that's not necessarily the case this season if everybody produces as they can.
Yeah, you know, and I know these guys are looking forward to the end of the Cactus and Grapefruit Leagues down there in Arizona. You know, yeah, tough. It's very tough down there. Of course, 100 degrees every single day. I mean, boo-hoo for these guys. But, of course, opening day is coming up. And who do the Mariners have at the beginning of the season to start the regular season but the Los Angeles Angels?
Yeah, it's definitely April and September are keys for with your inter-division games. And Mariners actually open at home in Safeco Field, something they haven't done in 6 or 7 years. So I know the team's excited about that and the fan base excited about.
Yeah, you know, the fan base, you know, when I'm up there, it's, you know, every time you turn the corner, of course, they have the Seattle Seahawks apparel, but more so you're starting to see more Mariners apparel by the Pacific Northwest faithful. And so it should be an exciting time, especially opening day at Safeco Field. As a matter of fact, there was a celebration just a couple of days ago. Sean, I don't know if you remember or recall back. Gosh, what year was that? That the Kingdome was imploded. Was that in 2000? Was that back in 2000?
Correct. 15 years ago.
Holy smokes, man. So, yeah, so that big celebration, of course, and, you know, opening day coming up, and Felix Hernandez, we wouldn't expect anything different but him to have maybe 15, I'd say a minimum of 15 Ks on the first day. What do you say?
Wow, 15 strikeouts. I thought you were going to say 15 wins on the season. 15 is definitely lofty. Great, but it's probably going to be 8 to 10, I would figure.
Well, you know, it takes a long time. I think it takes a little bit longer for the bats to catch up with the pitchers. King Felix is going to have one of those years. Let's face it, you know, he's going to have to in order for the Mariners to, you know, to really cement themselves as the top team in the AL West. You know, of course, their second series will be at Oakland. So I look forward to them coming down to Oakland. I believe that's April 10th, 11th, 12th. So that should be fun. You know, a lot of, you know, early season fanfare on who's going to actually win the West starts at the beginning of the season. As you were saying, the first 30 games, you know, is very pivotal for any of the teams to get out to a great start.
Now, Sean's switching to the National Football League and our beloved Raiders and Seahawks. Any news in the last week for your Oakland Raiders, either on what they're looking for in the draft or free agents that have come on in to Alameda for a visit?
Well, you know, the big talk for the Oakland Raiders for, you know, draft day is concerned is they still have a few holes to fill. One of them will be at the wide receiver position at number 4. It's been talked about on many mock drafts that they will be looking at a wide receiver in either Amari Cooper from Alabama or Kevin White from West Virginia. And so, you know, you can't go wrong with either of these guys. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of the Oakland Raiders actually going for a pass rusher and the defensive tackle from Williams, the defensive tackle from USC. But I do believe in the end, if everything falls into place of the first 3 picks, I think the Oakland Raiders will pick Amari Cooper, the wide receiver from Alabama.
And that would be a great big help to any offense and definitely the Raider offense and getting another offensive weapon on the outside.
Yeah, you know, and of course that coupled with, you know, some of these stadium issues that have been going on. Of course, the meetings that we talked about last week, they're still having the owners' meetings or just ending the owners' meetings down in Arizona. And there's been a lot of talks about relocation. And, you know, each of the 3 teams that have been brought up as far as relocation, we're talking about Oakland, San Diego, St. Louis. Out of those 3 teams, it sounds like St. Louis is probably the most prepared to relocate. And the NFL believes that and are kind of falling into place with that. Where the Oakland Raiders are concerned, and you know, let's face it, we go through this year in and year out. Will the Raiders stay? Will they go to L.A.? San Antonio is talking about, you know, taking over this team and this, that, and the other. It sounds like Mark Davis really wants this team to stay in Oakland. There's been a lot of talks with the city council and the county, and I believe I've talked about that before. So there's a little bit of progress as far as that's concerned. The big X on this whole deal is that even though there's been talks between, you know, the council, there haven't been talks or connections with the actual Oakland Raiders. So we're going to wait and see what this looks like and how this transpires over the next 6 months. But it does sound like there is some progress. But every time I say that, it's 1 step forward, 2 steps back. I have to believe that something will get done.
And Sean, up in the Pacific Northwest, the NFC champion Seahawks, I got to ask you, did you see the Pete Carroll video of John Clayton live on ESPN? And if you did, what did you think about it?
No, you know what? I've heard a lot about it, and I haven't had the chance to take a look at it, so I will. But I'm sure that it was a funny scene between Pete Carroll and John Clayton.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, definitely to YouTube to find that. And it was just a shock to see John Clayton live with you know, a picturesque Seattle day behind him. And all of a sudden, you see Pete Carroll in the background. And I guess he had stated he was trying to see if John Clayton had his ponytail, which if you've seen ESPN and the John Clayton commercial, he had a ponytail on during his ESPN commercial a year or two ago. So good comedy coming out of the Renton headquarters of the Seahawks. And the only news, well, a couple bits of news, free agent center Chris Myers is spending time in Seattle. Of course, Seattle trading Max Unger to the Saints for Jimmy Graham, so they may be looking for help at the center position. And then, of course, the big talk is Russell Wilson and his contract. Will it get done, and when will it get done?
Yeah, so that is a big if, or actually a big when, because let's face it, he's not going anywhere. Have you heard any discussions on what the amount or how much this contract might be for Russell Wilson?
At this point, it's all speculation, and it really, you've had reports of 100% of his contract being guaranteed, and now I saw that a more recent report today said that it would not be 100% guaranteed, which of course NFL contracts are not guaranteed, other than the signing bonus and if they stipulate X amount of dollars. But the entire contracts are never guaranteed, so that's a slippery slope that your other NFL owner and GM hoping this do not go, or else who knows, every player might be clamoring for that 100% guaranteed contract. And, you know, Russell himself has said it's going to get done, it's going to work out. It doesn't appear, at least publicly, that he's worried about it. And he still has one more year left on his contract. So it's not anything that has to be done before the season. But, of course, for security for Wilson and peace of mind for the 12th man and GM John Schneider, I'm sure they would like to have it ironed out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sooner, I would say sooner than later, because the longer you drag these things out, the more it becomes a little bit sticky, the more, you know, each side starts to pull away. But I just wonder how much would be guaranteed money and what types of incentive clauses would be in Russell Wilson's contract. I know that, you know, he's still smarting off of that interception being thrown, which is everybody in the Pacific Northwest or who is a Seahawks fan. So that spreads more than the Pacific Northwest. But you know, I wonder how much of his contract will be, you know, incentive laden.
Yeah, wait and see, like the rest of the world, and who knows, they may or may not release that information. Typically, they don't, and you get sources saying this, and then reports say that, and then people close to the negotiations, you know, all those terms the writers and reporters like to use. So we'll see how the opens and whether or not any of the numbers are reported correctly.
Well, that's some good stuff, man, and of course, Sean, you have made it through another show, man. What are we at? Show number 95?
That is the correct number, man. 95. And speaking of 5, it's 5 a.m. in France. I'm going back to bed. I got to get on a bus at 9 a.m. to head to the next town here in France.
Well, man, we definitely appreciate you taking this time out at 5 a.m. The sun still trying to come up, I'm sure, over there. Big time guest today on the double, Cottrell Macklin, giving us the prospectus on the NCAA in brackets. And he had a chance to spend time in Houston. And of course, he presides in Memphis and giving us all the insight. I love having Cottrell on the show and look forward to having him on here in the next few weeks so we can talk a little bit of NBA basketball. But yeah, Mr. Wally, it's time for you to lay your head down and get some rest, my friend.
And Sean, one more thing before I do that, I'm using brackets, and that just reminded me, for the record, I had half of the Elite Eight. I had 4 of the Elite Eight, but I have 0 of the Final 4. Go figure.
Jeez. Well, man, I'm pulling for Duke now, and I know that Cottrell was picking Kentucky. But I'm going to go with Coach K and those Blue Devils, and we'll see how that transpires here by, goodness, by our next show, man, number 96. Well, hey, man, get some rest. And I know you're going to have some great shows coming up here. For those of you who like to listen to some of the archives here on the Double with the Double S Express, you can go to double-s-express.com, or you can listen to us live, as most of you do, on the BBS radio app, station number 2, or you can catch us on Twitter and Stitcher as well, just to name a few of the ways to get some of the archives and listen live to on the Double. Show number 95 in the books for Sean Wally in France, Don Newson, the engineer. I'm Sean Boyd. You've been listening to On the Double. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his back.